I said it was really fun to be up at Big Sandy, but I'm really glad to be home. I'm going to miss all those folks up there because they're some really great people. But there's really great people here, and this is where I'm supposed to be full time. But it's nice to get up and go someplace different every now and again. Sometimes, even if you're working hard, just to change a venue can recharge your battery some, and at least in certain batteries. Other of my batteries are really worn. I think it's the physical part that's kind of tired and slightly sore. I keep trying to act like I'm 18, and I'm not. Yes. But, well, we're going to continue on with our study of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. And starting with verse 1, we're going to read through the first 18 verses. It says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Bless you. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle for others, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do other apostles and the Lord's brothers in Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? Do I say this merely as a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain.' Is this about oxen that God is concerned with? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes. This was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rites, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this. In preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and not make use of the rights of my rights in preaching it." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word and hear you speak to us fresh and new. Lord, open our hearts, our minds to you and your Holy Spirit. Lord, might you give us understanding. Might you speak to us. Might you direct how we apply this lesson which you have for us this morning to each of our individual lives. Father God, we want to hear from you. We seek your presence. We seek your leading. Speak to us. Lord, I pray for myself that as I preach this morning, your anointing would be upon me with power, that each person here who hears your word would be encouraged and blessed. Lord, I pray that your name would be lifted up and glorified, and not any man's. Now, Lord, let your people be encouraged and blessed. Let your name be lifted up. And might your word go forth. For we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God. Amen. Well, as Paul is moving into this letter, farther in, he's dealing with different topics in response to another letter that he had received from the Corinthians, the Corinthian church. We don't have that letter, so we don't know exactly what is going on there. Why is Paul talking about this? But he speaks about, this is my defense. So obviously, somebody must have been making some sort of charge against Paul that he was abusing his authority as an apostle, had taken more than what he was due, or something along those lines, is my estimation. Else, why else would he need a defense? Somebody must have made some sort of accusation against him. So as we look at this morning, what's going on here? Well, Paul is talking about, previously, about the freedom that we have in Christ, but that we have to focus on not, am I free to do so, but in my freedom, as I act, am I going to cause somebody else to stumble because they're not as mature as I am? He says, yet I'm free. He's free. He's not bound up in the law. So then am I not an apostle? What's an apostle? I want to see John and Debbie. An apostle simply is someone sent with a message. In particular, an apostle is someone sent from God with the message of the gospel. You say, well, isn't that all of us? In one sense, you could say that is. But in a more direct sense, it's somebody who is sent directly from the throne of God, has been given that commission, and speaks in power and authority. Again, an argument could be made that anybody who preaches the gospel could, at some point, be referred to as an apostle. But specifically, it was held up for those who were of, who showed a special anointing, someone whom led many to the Lord, and just didn't lead people to the Lord, but built up the church and was a leader and had much spiritual fruit. Wasn't somebody that was looking to build a power base, but somebody who was looking to prosper God's church. We have the original apostles whom we refer to. First 12, one of whom was Judas. Judas was also fallen. And he was then replaced by the casting of lots by the other apostles, by the 11. Then later we see the brothers of Jesus and Paul and Barnabas and Apollos and others also referred to as apostles. Why? Because these people were all out building the church and with special anointing from God. When they preached the word, people came to Christ. They didn't preach in their own power. They preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says here, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others. He wasn't one who was in Jerusalem as an apostle, but he was in Greece, in Asia. And he spoke. He said, Surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. So he looked to the church which he had built, the churches, and said, you're the proof that I'm an apostle. Now he gets into this defense. He says, those who work for the Lord deserve, are entitled to reap benefit from that, to live off of that. Just as a soldier is given food and lodging and such by the army, and a shepherd takes his food from the flock, and as the vintner takes his food from the vineyard, so one who ministers the gospel is to receive his food, his care is to come from the church, which he ministers to. He says, this is the command of the Lord. Well, a couple places in the gospel we see that. In the sending of the 12 and in the sending of the 72. I'm going to read you the sending of the 12 from Mark chapter 6. Read verses 7 through 11 here. It says, and then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They were to go out without a purse, without extra supplies. And nothing goes against my Boy Scout training more than that. Be prepared. Take everything. Normally, I go, I got rope, I got matches, I got compasses, I got knives, usually a half dozen knives. I'm kind of carry more knives than I necessary when I go camping and things like that, but I might lose one. I might need a different one for some reason. This one's got a saw blade on it, that one's got a spoon, this, got all this stuff. Be prepared. You got a map. You got a compass. You got waterproof matches. You got flashlight. I take stuff. I got sick when I was up at camp. I had all the drugs I needed with me. I brought stuff just in case. I had Sudafed. I had ibuprofen. I had Imodium. I had stuff because I was prepared. But Jesus is telling us the command that Jesus is giving, and Paul is alluding to and saying this is that those who work the gospel aren't supposed to be taking care of their own needs. That's supposed to come from those whom they minister to. That's why you don't muzzle the ox if it's treading out the grain. Why? Because as the ox treads out the grain at the mill, it takes a bite every now and again and keeps its energy up. Keeps strong. Healthy. Those who do the work are supposed to reap the benefit of the work. And then Paul makes this statement, but we did not use this right. On the contrary, We put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. So Paul is telling these people that whatever little bit I may have taken wasn't even close to what I was supposed to get. I was supposed to be getting housing, food, clothes. You know, my needs were supposed to have been met by you guys. But instead, I was out sowing tents and selling those to cover those costs. So that nobody could come up and say the gospel was all about a handout. You know what? That's why we have our offering box on the wall in the back now. Because those of you who call this church your home, you know that you're supposed to be paying for me, for this building, for the ministries that this church does. But those who are guests, those who church, this, they do not consider this their church home. We don't want anybody to feel that they're obligated to have to pay for something which really isn't theirs that they should have to pay for. So we've put the offering box in the back where we put it in the bulletin. We say that's where it is. And if somebody wants to give a gift, well, Lord bless them. Those of you who are members of Northbrook, those of you who attend this church and say, this is my church, well, it's not about a Lord bless you. It's this is an obligation that you have between you and God. It's your obligation to God to take care of me. It's my obligation to God to take care of you. See, our obligation runs through God here. And any ministry, it's likewise. That's where the major source of support is supposed to come. But Paul said, you know what? I came, and when I presented the gospel, I didn't want that to get in the way. So I was willing to do this extra work so that nobody could say anything against me. So that nobody could say the gospel isn't free. That's why I did it. That's what Paul's saying here. But Paul says, you know, don't get too excited about thinking that I'm too virtuous. Because, you know what, I really didn't have any option about preaching the gospel to you. I am under an obligation to God to preach that. He's put that burden on my heart, and I really don't have any choice in the matter. I have to preach it. And you know what? I'm kind of under that same thing. Now, Donna and I don't know how many of you are aware of this. It's not something that we bring up a lot of times, but at one point I was pastoring a church where we didn't get paid for 14 weeks. I never once considered leaving that church because I wasn't getting paid. You know what? If you guys couldn't make my paycheck, I wouldn't resign. I wouldn't leave. Why? Because God has called me here and this is where I'm supposed to be. My obligation's to God. Okay? And if I got to find some other way to support doing what it is that God has put upon me, that's what I'm going to do. Now, Paul, he was going around planting churches. One spot and another. And he'd stay there for a little while and then he'd leave. Now, he fully expected that the pastor, like Timothy, when he sent Timothy to be the pastor of church, he expected that church to support Timothy. No, it's just Paul and Barnabas, they just had this thing. They said, you know what? God has given us this way of making money, which is just a special blessing. And we're going to do it this way. so that we might better do what God has told us to do. And it worked for them. Yet, they still took gifts from the churches. They got some of their support from the churches. Sometimes they worked as tent makers. They didn't do it all the time. But in Corinth, it seems that for the most part they did. They supported themselves. They also collected money from these churches, which they took back to those who needed more support, like in Jerusalem when there was a famine back there. This isn't about saying, you know what? I'm super spiritual because I didn't take the money. I said, but it was my one thing. I was able to do this and I got a special joy out of it. This is what I was able to do. And I don't want anybody to take that away from me. You know? Now, I like M&Ms. And I was at camp and Donna came up to see me and she brought two bags of M&Ms to Biggins. And I was like, yeah! And I ate some and I walk out and there's people out, you know, camp staff out in the lobby of Loon Lodge there and sitting around. I walk around and shake the bag and hold it in front and hands come out and I fill up their hands with M&Ms. And I went and put my M&Ms away. And here the other night, they had a little thing that they call Pop Cocoa, which is Brian Toth. He's the APD, the Assistant Program Director. You know, he comes up with the names of different things. And what it is a variety show put on by the campers where they make popcorn and serve cocoa. And then while they were serving cocoa, I went and I got my M&Ms. I had a bag and a half of M&Ms. And I just stood in line as all the campers went by, and I just gave them M&Ms. Some would put it in the hot chocolate for some just put it in their hand. And it was fun. I got to bless somebody. This is Paul's way of blessing the church they worked at. He said, you know, preaching the gospel, I can't take credit for that because God has put that one on me. But I was able to find a way to preach the gospel without having to make you pay for it. And I wanted to do that. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, so as not to make use of my rights in preaching it. Now, I was trying to figure out what to title this thing, and I gave Unmet Obligations as the message title to Phyllis because I was trying to come up with something because I never really... That still doesn't meet this. I still don't have a title for this thing, and we're almost done. if anybody of you have a sermon title that you'd like to tell Mike to put on the tag for this thing for this week, I'd be happy for it. But really... As I look at this, I say, well, what can I take away from what Paul's saying here? Okay. He really does teach that it is the responsibility of the church to take care of the shepherd. Well, that seems a little self-serving on my part, but I'm okay with it. I am supposed to receive my care from the church, as we see when Jesus did send out the 12 and the 72. In both times, he told them, don't take anything with you as you go. There's the one supposed to take care of you. So it's the people that, it's the church that's supposed to take care of those who are doing the ministry. So I just need to be faithful to doing what it is God has called me to do. And it is my obligation to preach the gospel, as I said. You know, now, I'm not saying please cut my salary, but if you guys didn't pay me anything, I'd still come here and preach every Sunday. I'd still come in the office and work, because it's what God's called me to do. You're going to have to take away my keys. I'm not going to give them up just because you don't give me a paycheck. I figure if there isn't a paycheck, it's not because you all aren't willing to support me. It's because there's something else going on here, like maybe we have an economic downturn, or churches just get to the point where we have expenses going up and where we're at. We'll deal with it as we deal with it. But what is it that we're supposed to take away? As I'm looking at this, I'm going, what am I supposed to take away? What are you supposed to take away? I see Paul looking for some way to have an added blessing. He said, this is my boast, this is my thing. I was able to do this. In addition, I'm under command to preach the gospel. So because I preach it, something to me. But I found a way to preach the gospel where you all who were supposed to pay for it didn't have to. So, ha! I got one. I was able to find a way to give you an added blessing. That's what I'm seeing here. Paul's looking for a way. How can I find a way that I can better bless you? Where this is blessing from me. Not a blessing from God. Blessings from God are great. But also seeking to bless the church himself. So let's look at our lives and what it is that we're called to do, what we are committed to do. But how then can we fulfill our obligations, but yet throw in that added blessing? That's from us. May the Lord bless you. It's nice. But it's good. It's what we're, something that we're supposed to say and do, and the Lord does bless us. But shouldn't I bless you also? I think so. Paul shows us that example of it. And I think you should too. I think what we need to look here is, where can I find a way to be an added blessing beyond the command that the Lord has given me? I'm under a commitment from God to fulfill certain things, obligations. It is not an added blessing for me to come up here and preach. This is something that, the Lord makes me do. But if I can find another way to bless others. excuse me. So, I went to camp for 3 weeks. I was an added blessing up there. You were an added blessing to that camp because you let me go. You didn't have to. I should have brought a water bottle this morning. You didn't have to let me go. I didn't have to go. But I went. And I was a blessing to those people. They didn't pay for me to be there. You did. So that's one way our church has been a blessing. An added blessing to those around us. Excuse me. But let's look to our own lives and see how and where can we bless others? From ourselves. What can I do? What can I give of me that is from me as a blessing to you? That's what Paul did to the church. That's the example I'm seeing here. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would guide us as we examine our lives this week. Might you open our eyes to opportunity, to be a blessing. Lord, we have certain areas where we're supposed to be. Certain areas where we're supposed to be. Lord, if I'm an employee and I do the work that I'm supposed to do, that's not being a blessing. That's being just a good employee. But maybe if I can make that work environment a little bit more joyful by bringing some chocolate chip cookies or by having an attitude of joy and brightening, finding some way to brighten my coworker's day, maybe that'll do it. Lord, help us to see how we can be an added blessing. Lord, not just discharge our obligation to you, but to also bless as you bless, out of love and generosity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.